morning and a very warm welcome to all who are joining our podcast Remembrance Day service, which is being led by our minister, the Reverend Claire Davison. A reminder that as we are not able to have a toy service this year, monetary donations are asked in the way of a cheque made out to the Salvation Army and sent to Mr. Ian Henderson by the 20th of November. Thank you.
On this Remembrance Sunday, some words from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 2. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though we come to bring our worship to God, our help, as we sing our first hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we come before you today where we are, not just to remember but also to praise you and to ask for your help in our lives and in our world. We praise you for who you are, the creator of the whole universe, the one above all things, who can work all things for good. You are the faithful and compassionate one. We praise you for your mercy and love and for your promised presence with us. We remember that you made each one of us to be like you and have blessed us with this rich and fruitful earth. You gave humankind responsibility for the good ordering and well-being of the world. And yet we have messed up. And we do so time and again. We confess that we are not always peaceful or loving to those around us. We ask for your forgiveness. Help us to resolve to show your love to others, to forgive others as you have forgiven us, and to follow you, the Prince of Peace, in all that we do. and help us in our remembering today, we pray, for your holy name's sake.
Amen.
We now join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
We now come to our act of remembrance with the 2 minute silence. At home, you may like to stand as you do in church, as you are able. If you're not used to the silence, pray silently for those who have lost loved ones in war and for those who work to bring peace around the world. The silence will end with the usual Binyan words read to us by Elsa Jarvis. We will all respond, we will remember them. So we stand and our act of remembrance begins.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
We pray now for our Queen in the words of the National Anthem. As I was recording the silence, leaving the clock going for 2 minutes, It's dark outside and I could hear the sound of fireworks, which, thinking about what we're remembering today, sounded more like the guns of war. I thought I'd leave that thought with you, but with the realisation that for some, the sound of fireworks can be traumatic because of their experiences of war. So we come to our first reading from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 4 to 9. The prophet develops the themes that have gone before, of God's judgment on the people, set in the guise of a prayer which begins by exalting God, and then of God's restoration of them, looking to a time in the future. It is read to us by Susan Bolland.
For thou hast been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the blast of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. Thou dost subdue the noise of the aliens, as heat by the shade of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
Thank you.
The second reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 to 6 is very short and is part of Paul's instructions to the young pastor Timothy as he leads the church. In these verses we hear instruction on prayer. It is read to us by Liz Cameron.
First of all then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be offered for all men, for sovereigns and all in high office, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in full observance of religion and high standards of morality. Such prayer is right and approved by God our Saviour, whose will it is that all men should find salvation and come to know the truth. For there is one God and also one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus, himself man, who sacrificed himself to win freedom for all mankind.
The passage we read in Isaiah gives a wonderful picture, not just of what God has been to us, but also of what God will be. We can think of the new earth and new heavens of Revelation 21 and various parts of the prophets Ezekiel and Daniel. They're all pictures of what living in a peaceful place might be like, a world where peace shall reign. In this passage in Isaiah, we hear of a feast of rich food, well-matured wines, the heavenly banquet we read of elsewhere and which Jesus uses in parables of the kingdom. Picture the plenty, the bountiful supply, a kingdom where no one will go without, and a time when God himself will wipe away every tear. Those are all words of hope which we hold on to, a time of peace which we look to and work towards. Although today is Remembrance Sunday, we can't help but think of those words of hope also in our current context of the fight against COVID-19. And we can hold on to that as well. Yet this passage doesn't just speak of the hope of living in peace in the future. The beginning of the part we read talks about how God is with us now, a refuge for the poor and needy, the one we can shelter in when things around us don't go as planned, the one who can still the storm. It's a picture of the strength of Christ for us now, helping us through those times, giving us peace in those times. I'm sure we can all relate to that. Difficult circumstances, parts of our lives that have been really hard, and then we've found refreshment in Christ going through them. There are always those instances when we've needed to renew our strength. Often when we come still before God's presence and give those things that burden us to him, we find peace for ourselves. Within this passage, we also see what is taken to be strong hints of the Messiah, the one in this passage who is to come. We have that picture of bountiful provision, of an age of peace to come, an age which is swept in by the Lord himself. It is the Lord who will destroy the shroud or sheet that is covering over the nations. Scholars say the shroud refers to death itself. The passage then says, the Lord will swallow up death forever. Those are familiar words we hear echoed by Paul in Romans. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's that picture of what Jesus, God incarnate, has done on the cross to overcome death forever, to bring about that world of peace. The final words of our reading are jubilant that the Lord has brought salvation. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This picture in Isaiah then is of a world of peace brought in by the Messiah, by Jesus Christ. This is something we still yearn for in our world today. To quote Mahatma Gandhi again this week, he said, "Peace is not something that you wish for. It is something that you make, something that you do, something that you are, something that you give away." That's so true, isn't it? We might wish for peace or hope for the peace to come, yet we need to be active in making peace. At the pastorate where I ministered in London, we had a pilots group, as you used to have here. One term we focused on peace, on personal peace, community peace, and world peace. Gandhi's words are about personal peace, which can bring about community peace and eventually world peace. In the other reading from 1 Timothy, Paul is charging the churches to pray for all people, and specifically for kings and those in authority. This is to pray for peace, to live in peace personally, but also for world peace. In one sense, praying is active, even though we can't necessarily see the results straight away. I read somewhere that kingdom-wise, Hitler was ultimately overthrown by the prayers of thousands of people, and apartheid was toppled in South Africa. Our prayers today for various situations in our world and for governments to change situations, even maybe about the US elections, are making a kingdom difference, even if we can't immediately see the results. Prayer and action go together. So we come back to think of ourselves as living as people of peace. Peace is shown in what we are like as individuals, in how we relate to others, in how we resolve conflicts in our own lives. It's how we mirror Jesus' life. In essence, as people of the kingdom, it's how we witness to the peace of Christ, the peace that he brings to us. In Matthew's Beatitudes, we're reminded that Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Peace is also one of the fruits of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul gives in Galatians. It may feel, with all the conflicts that are going on in the world today, that what we do in our small corner can't really make a difference, but it does, simply because we're called to live out the kingdom. And if we are faithful in that, God will use us, maybe not in what we can see happening, but in ways which are significant for God's kingdom to come in our world. I'm reminded of the modern hymn, "Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands" by Fred Kahn. The words remind us to treat peace like a treasure, to protect it like a candle flame, to be gentle in all we do and say, and to share it with others. It reminds us that peace starts with us as individuals, which brings peace into our families, communities, and beyond. We are called to live that life. And we are called to pray for peace too, to pray for authorities the world over, that peace will come, that the Prince of Peace will reign, and that the vision of a world where there will be no more tears and no more death will come to pass. Amen. Our next hymn is a prayer for God to cleanse our world of all that isn't good, and to bring healing. We sing, "Judge eternal, throned in splendour, Lord of lords and King of kings." We come now to our prayers for others, focusing on all who suffer today as a result of conflict, and asking that God may give us peace. They are brought to us by Roger and Jeanette Morley.
Gracious Lord God, we pray today for the servicemen and women who have died in the violence of war, each one remembered by and known to God, both those from our own country and those of other countries. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ. We pray for those who love them in death as in life, offering the distress of their grief and the sadness of their loss. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
We pray for all members of the armed forces who are in danger, remembering family, friends, and all who pray for their safety. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
In our land, we pray for all those who have come out of the armed forces and find themselves living with a disability, destitution, homelessness, drug addiction, and broken by their memories. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
We pray for all across the world whose lives are disfigured by war or terror, calling to mind in penitence the anger and hatreds of humanity. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
We pray for peacemakers and peacekeepers who seek to keep this world secure and free. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
We pray for all who bear the burden and privilege of leadership, political, military, and religious, asking for gifts of wisdom and resolve in the search for reconciliation and peace. In this time, we pray for our own government and for our royal family. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world and give us the grace to pray for those who wish us harm. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
We think in this time in world history of all who are suffering and who are afraid, and all who are anxious about the future. May God give peace.
The peace of Christ.
Help us to put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life, hope, and peace, now and forever.
Amen.
Our final hymn is a classic for Remembrance Sunday and is a personal prayer for God to be with us throughout our life's journey. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide.
Thank you.
In a world of conflict, be a beacon of hope. Amid the strife, fight for justice. Pray for peace and walk in God's ways. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all and those we love, now and always.
Amen. Amen.